بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وبعد. Okay, so now we continue with رفع الملام يعني لأئمة الأعلام, lifting the blame or removing the blame from the great imams. So we were talking, we are still under discussing the, let's see, the general topic that we are discussing right now is why two 7:30. Okay, the third thing that we were discussing last time was for the difference among the possible reasons for difference among the scholars is that one of them would consider a hadith weak and the other for a certain kind of ijtihad that he has, and others would disagree with him and consider it acceptable. And we mentioned many or a number of situations where this could happen, or a number of causes for such a thing. So we covered this point last time. Now we talk about the next reason for difference among the scholars, and this is a short one. It says, اشتراطه في خبر الواحد العدل الحافظ شروطا يخالفه فيها غيره. One of the ulama or the scholars will make a condition in regards to the narration of an individual who is trustworthy and hafiz, which means he has good memorization of his narrations. But the alim of fiqh would make conditions in his regard, or will set certain conditions that others will disagree with him about. مثل اشتراط بعضهم عرض الحديث على عرض الحديث على الكتاب والسنة. Like some of them would set the condition that the hadith should be presented to the Quran and Sunnah. واشتراط بعضهم أن يكون المحدث فقيها إذا خالف قياس الأصول. And others requiring that the muhaddith, one who narrates the hadith, should be faqih, should have a knowledge of fiqh. إِذَا خَالَ فَقِيَاسَ الْأُصُولِ, if his narration disagrees with derivations that result from the foundations that are known to the people of fiqh. وَاشْتِرَاطُ بَعْضِهِمْ انْتِشَارُ الْحَدِيثِ وَظُهُورُ. Others would set a condition that the hadith should be widely known and acceptable. إذا كان فيما تعم به البلوى, if it is in regard to things that تعم به البلوى means that there is a general harm that could happen if it is not known. I'll explain what this means. إلى غير ذلك مما هو معروف عليه, and other conditions that are known in its in their places, which means that they are recorded in their books, in the books, or with the proper books. Now, what he is saying here, to translate it to simple language, he's saying that, again, you know, we were talking about two ulama. This is alim A, and this is alim B. Oh, fell down. Sorry. These are two alims, A and B, okay? And this is the muhaddith here, okay, X. So alim A does not accept the narration of X, alim B accepts it. Alim A refused it. We talked a lot last time about some reasons why they did not accept it, but now we're talking about something else. And this something else is that now we're talking about this muhaddith who is individual. He does not have others with him to narrate or support the same narration. So it is, he gave a single narration. Doesn't mean that everything he says is single narration, but it means in that particular case that they are differing about. He narrated something, and he is adil. He is adil and hafiz. He is trustworthy and a hafiz, which means a good memorizer, this guy. But he has a singular narration. He narrated something all by himself that no one else have narrated. Now this guy will accept it. He'd say, since he is hafiz and adl, I will accept his narration. And this is the fair way to deal with it. This is the way that most of the ulama of the sunnah will say. But some ulama, like the Hanafis, will be more strict about this. So they will say, no, he has to be, they will require tawatur, especially, you know, in certain situations like matters that relate to aqidah and things, they'll become very picky.
What is tawatur?
Tawatur means that there are a large number, it's not a singular or narration, by a few individuals. It has to be a narration by a large number of people. No, it's not consensus. It's a narration by a large number of people. So anyways, this will accept the narration. This will reject it. And his rejection will be based on certain conditions that he sets. One of the conditions that are sometimes set is that he says that, okay, he has this narration, which is authentic, that's fine. He is trustworthy, that's fine. So according to the ulama of hadith, it is acceptable. But for me, I will not accept it because he is the only one who said it. Unless we present what he said and compare it to what is in the Quran and the Sunnah, which means the Quran and other narrations, other ahadith. If it agrees, then we take it. If it disagrees, we will not take it. And this is dangerous because why? Because that means I will present what he says to something which is authentic, to something that it is supposed to be part of it. And this, the knowledge here that comes from this narration would complete the knowledge of the Quran and Sunnah. So what he's saying is that I will take my knowledge of the Quran and Sunnah, okay?
That decides whether
to accept this or not. Exactly.
Now I see the fallacy.
Yeah. So in that case, they will exclude lots of good narrations that will add to our knowledge of the Sunnah. For example, you know, let's say about saying Ameen loud in the prayer. They say we want additional narrations to support it. It comes from acceptable. Let's say I mean that this is one of these singular narrations. They say, but our general knowledge of the Quran and Sunnah does not support this. You say it silently. But this is the knowledge from this is what will supplement or complement the rest of the knowledge, so that you say that there is such an action. So that's where the problem comes. That they reject it because they say that we have to compare it to what is in the Quran and Sunnah and see if it agrees with it. Or others will say that his narration disagrees with some established foundations of fiqh that we have. They have certain rules for deriving ahkam or regulations. And they say this hadith disagrees with our foundations. So in order for us to accept it from this man who is trustworthy, he should be faqih. He himself, who is narrating this narration, should be also known to be a strong scholar of fiqh, that he has the capability, like a legislator, a person who has the ability of, you know, deriving, making derivations from the rules based on the foundations. And so this is another condition that some of them have set, and others would say that for us to accept this hadith, because he's talking about a matter, ta'ammu bihi al-balwa, which means this hadith is about an issue that everybody deals with. And everybody is exposed to being deficient or wrong if he doesn't do it. So it can't be that all people are wrong and all people have missed. Like saying Bismillah, for example, on wudu. It is ma'amul bihi al-balwa, which means you cannot say the wudu of everybody is invalid. So in this case, we want this hadith, we require that it should be widespread and well known to everybody, because otherwise we will not accept it. So they will reject the hadith about tasmiyah, because they say, how come not everybody knows about it and implements it? So what we say is that if the hadith is authentic and demonstrated from the Prophet ﷺ, the correct opinion of this guy be, we accept it as long as some people have accepted it before us, which means if some of the Sahaba and the ulama of Islam have accepted it, that's enough for us. It doesn't have to be that everybody took it, because that's not necessary in Islam, that all the ummah knows everything. There will always be things that are missed and lacked by some of the ummah, as we saw earlier. Okay, that was a short one. The next one is longer. I don't know if we'll have the time to finish it. He says, the fifth reason of difference among the ulama is that أن يكون الحديث قد بلغه وثبت عنده لكن نسيه. We talked about this and we gave some examples before when we were talking about other issues, but we mentioned this. It says that it could be that the hadith, this is similar to the first condition, reason that we gave before, which is that the hadith never reached a alim, right? لَا يَكُونَ الْحَدِيثُ بَلَغَهُ. Okay, and we gave many examples from the Sahaba where they did not know of a hadith, like Abu Bakr and Umar even. They did not know about the hadith and they gave a fatwa contrary to the hadith because they did not know about the hadith. They never received the hadith. And sometimes somebody told them later on, sometimes they were never told. This is related to it, or very similar to it, or not very similar. I mean, the effect probably, the result is similar. أن يكون الحديث بلغه وثبت عنده لكن نسيه. يعني this person, maybe he knows the hadith, but according to this man, he knew about this hadith, and he used to maybe even give fatwa about it, but then he forgot about this hadith. This is what we mentioned last time, if you remember. So this guy, he knew the hadith, but then he forgot it. Now after he forgot about it, you do not expect him to make a fatwa based on that hadith, because it's not in his elements of fatwa that he can use anymore until he is reminded about it. And he says, example, yeah, this is actually the hadith that I mentioned last time. I wasn't sure if it is included in this book somewhere. So, alhamdulillah. He says, or the author about Umar, he says, like the famous report about Umar radiallahu anhu. And this will help us when we talk about tayammum next time, or the time after, because then I can refer you to this and say we do not have to say it again. He was asked, Umar radiallahu anhu was asked, سُئِلَ عَنِ الرَّجُلِ يُجْنِبُ فِي السَّفَرِ فَلَا يَجِدُ الْمَا. He was asked about a man who becomes junub during a travel, and he does not find water, he doesn't have water. He's traveling on camels, and he becomes junub. He sleeps at night, and he sees a wet dream, and that requires ghusl, a bath. What should he do? So Umar was asked about this. What should he do, he was asked. He said he has to wait until he gets to a place where there is water, and then he takes a bath, and then he can pray. That was Umar's fatwa. Now, Ammar bin Yasir was present, radiallahu anhuma, because his father was a Sahabi also. And he said, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, he said, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, don't you remember, إِذْ كُنْتُ أَنَا وَأَنْتَ فِي الْإِبِلْ فَأَجْنَبْنَا. He said, don't you remember when I and you were riding camels, and or we were traveling with the camels, and then we both became junub? فَأَمَّا أَنَا فَتَمَرَّغْتُ كَمَا تَمَرَّغُ الدَّابَّةِ. So it's, my memory was wrong here. It is Ammar who rolled in the sand like an animal would do, he said. He said, as for me, I rolled in the sand like an animal would do. وَأَمَّا أَنْتَ فَلَمْ تُصَلِّمْ. And as for you, you did not pray. So Umar continued according to his original fatwa. After he forgot the hadith, he went back to his old. You know, his memory was cleared, so he was. So as for you, you did not pray. And then I mentioned that to the Prophet ﷺ. When they went to him, they told him what they did. He said, he told me, إِنَّمَا يَكْفِيكَ هَكَذَا. It would be enough for you to do this. وَضَرَبَ بِيَدَيْهِ الْأَرْضِ فَمَسَحَ بِهِمَا وَجَهُ وَكَفَّيْهِ. And then he wiped with them his face and his palms. That's it.
You don't have to wipe
to
the
elbow? No. That's another thing, the wrong thing that they teach us. So only the face and the two hands. So Umar said, still Umar has not remembered. He said, اتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَا Ammar. He said, fear Allah, O Ammar. This did not happen, he said. I don't remember it. اتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَا Ammar. فقال, إِن شِئْتَ لَمْ أُحَدِّثْ بِهِ. He said, if you want me, I will not tell anybody about this. Yani, if you think that I may be lying, then I will not tell anybody. He said, بَلْ نُوَلِّيكَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ مَا تَوَلَّيْتَ. He said, no, but we will let you do whatever you have taken upon yourself, which means you will have your own burden on yourself, whether you are saying the truth or not. So, this hadith in Sahih Muslim. And it shows that Umar, as he says, Ibn Taymiyyah, فهذه السنة شهدها عمر ثم نسيها. This is a sunnah that Umar witnessed, and then he forgot about it. Because he was present when they were asking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he forgot it. حتى أفتى بخلافه. And then he was given a fatwa contrary to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وذكره عمار. And Ammar reminded him of this. فلم يذكر. And still he did not remember. He was telling Ammar what he should have done. Instead of rolling all his body in the ground, in the soil, in the sand, he could just have hit it with his hand. And
so basically, Umar was wrong when he didn't pray.
Yeah, definitely. وَهُوَ لَمْ يُكَذِّبْ عَمَّارًا. And he does not accuse Ammar that he's lying. بَلْ أَمَرَ أَنْ يُحَدِّثَ بِهِ. Rather, he told him, go ahead and report to the people. وَأَبْلَغُ مِنْ هَذَا. And even more clear than this, أَنَّهُ خَطَبَ النَّاسَ فَقَالِ. Well, this is... Okay, he takes a report which he, we talk about it, inshallah. أَبْلَغْ مِنْ هَذَا, he says, Ibn Taymiyyah, that he once gave a khutbah and in which he said, لَا يَزِيدُ رَجْلٌ عَلَى صَدَاقِ أَزْوَاجِ النَّبِي. No man would give more than the in marriage, that is, more than the dowry of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم وبناته and his daughters. على صداق أزواج النبي, the wives of the Prophet and his daughters, إلا رددته, but I will refuse that for him. I will reject that. Which means if anybody requests a dowry for his daughter more than what the Prophet ﷺ gave his wives or his daughters took, then I will not allow that. That's what he's saying. So a woman said, يا أمير المؤمنين لما تحرمنا شيئا أعطانا الله إياه. O أمير المؤمنين, commander of the believers, why do you want to deprive us from something that Allah has given to us? ثم قرأت, then she recited, وأتيتم إحداهن قنطارا قنطارا فتأخذ منه شيئا. And if you give one of them a qintar, a great amount of money, then do not take anything after that of it. This report, which is commonly reported, he says, let me finish what he said. He said, فَرَجَ عُمَرْ إِلَىٰ قَوْلِهِ. So Umar accepted what she said, and he stopped what he first decided. وَقَدْ كَانَ حَفْظًا الْآيَةِ. Even though he memorized the ayah, but he forgot when he gave his ruling. So here, in regard to this narration, Al-Albani rahimahullah says, في هذا الحديث شيئان. In this report there are two things. أحدهما نهي الأمير المؤمنين عمر عن الزيادة في الصداق على صداق أزواجه وبناته. The first is that Umar prohibited the believers from giving more or asking for more dowry than what the Prophet took for his wife or gave for his wife and took for his daughters. And the second thing is اعتراض المرأة على عمر, that the woman objected to Umar and وردها إياه, she refuted him, واستشهادها بقوله تعالى etc. And that she used the ayah as a proof to what she said. He said, as for his that Umar alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, as for that Umar prohibited adding or increasing the sadaq or the dowry, this is recorded by Ahmad in Al-Musnad and the Ashab al-Sunan, the people of al-Sunan, which means Abu Dawood, Nasa'i, Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah. So it is in Ahmad and these four books. From Muhammad bin Sirin, from Abu al-Ajfa al-Sulami, he said, I heard Umar say, أَلَا لَا تُغَالُوا فِي صَدَاقِ النِّسَاءِ, indeed do not be excessive in the what you request of dowry for the woman. فَإِنَّهَا لَوْ كَانَتْ مَكْرُمَةً فِي الدُّنْيَا أَوْ تَقْوَى عِنْدَ اللَّهِ, because if it was an honoring an honor in this life or a taqwa before Allah, كَانَ أَوْلَاكُمْ بِهَا النَّبِيِّ صلى الله عليه وسلم, then the most worthy person to do this would have been the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And yet مَا أَصْدَقَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ امْرَأَةً مِنْ نِسَائِهِ وَلَا أَصْدَقَتْ امْرَأَةٌ مِنْ بَنَاتِهِ وَلَا أُصْدِقَتْ امْرَأَةٌ مِنْ بَنَاتِهِ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ 12 أُوقِيَةٍ. And yet he never gave any of his wives nor any of his daughters was given more than 12 أُوقِيَةٍ. أُوقِيَةٍ is a certain measure, I'm not sure right now what it is like, you can say like 12 ounces altogether. Nobody, even his daughters, was given more than 12 ounces. And they did not deal in gold these days. Those days they did not have that much gold. All what they used to deal with was silver. So what he's saying is 12 ounces or something like that of silver, whatever uqiyya was. As I said, I don't remember now whether it is comparable to the ounce, less, more, Allahu A'lam, but it is maybe of that order. So maybe what in our today's language, if it was that much silver, maybe $100, maybe less.
12 ounces of silver would probably be about, yeah, it'd be a little bit more than that probably. It'd be like, talking about like a pound.
Yeah, a pound of silver, right. So I don't know if it was that much, but I would say comparable. So comparable to the $100 of our time, maybe less. That was the maximum, and that was in the case of one of his wives, where the dowry was not paid by the Prophet ﷺ himself, but by al-Najashi, who gave it to Habiba, right? Allahu anam. So al-Tirmidhi said, "Hada hadith sahih." This is an authentic hadith. He says, "But the increase or decrease in dowry follows." Or depends on the ability of the husband, whether he's rich or poor. And Muslim reported in his Sahih, in his authentic Sahih, from Abu Salama Abdul Rahman, that he said, I asked Aisha, the wife of the Prophet ﷺ, how much was the sadaq of Rasulullah ﷺ, how much he used to give to his wives, and she said, he used to give them 12 uqiyya wa nashan. قالت أتدري من نش قالت قال لا قالت نصف أوقية فتلك 500 درهم. I see. She said he used to give them 12 and a half أوقية. And that makes 500 dirhams, she said.
Mm.
500 dirhams, 12 and a half, which means each uqiyah is how many dirhams? Divide by 40. So it is 40 dirhams for each uqiyah, right? 40 dirhams for each uqiyah, and this makes 500 dirhams. 500 dirhams means 500 silver coins. And
that'd be enough. I mean, that's a lot.
That's a lot, but you know, you think of them like the silver. You remember silver.
Yeah, but think of how much silver. I mean, if you had 500 pieces of copper, I mean, that.
No, you remember, you know, they used to have, not too long ago, we used to have these silver quarters.
Yeah, that's true.
You remember them?
Yeah.
I mean, they used to be worth a quarter at that time.
1950.
No, we used to collect them, even in the 80s, we used to have lots of them.
Yeah.
And then they started disappearing from the market.
Yeah, they did.
Because the silver became more expensive than.
So the silver was pretty cheap at that time.
Yeah.
500 would. How much would. I mean.
But I don't think it would be even the size of the quarter. It's probably a small piece of coin.
Yeah, just. Piece.
So 500 pieces of coin, maybe. Maybe, as we said before, you know, of the order of $100, maybe.
It wouldn't be outside of the. Like, for instance, you wouldn't be able to discriminate in a sense of. Like, you know, the father be able to basically put the dowry so high that to ensure that the daughter married somebody who was wealthy.
Yeah, this is wrong, of course.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand that. Even I can understand the point.
But if a person is capable, I mean, that he can afford that much, then mashallah. So the Prophet ﷺ, it seems he gave his wife that much. And it doesn't mean every single one of his wives. It seems that maybe a number of his wives, so that it was like a common knowledge. And also it is reported from in Sahih Muslim from Abu Hurairah that a man came to the Prophet ﷺ and he said, I married a woman from an Ansar. He said, how much you gave her in Sadaq? He said, 4 awaq, 4 uqiyat. The Prophet ﷺ gave 12. He said, I gave 4, which means 660.
Yeah.
Huh?
One kg of
that. Yeah, 160 dirhams. The Prophet ﷺ said, 4 awaq, it is as if you are carving out silver from this side of the mountain, which means as if you are finding silver on the street. Is it that easy that you pay her that much? And that's probably because this man was poor, and he is incapable to pay that much. So it can be understood that Umar radiallahu anh, in that authentic report from him, he disliked that people would raise the dowry high, and there is no difference about this. And if you want to go more into detail, I have a lot of detail about this issue in my book, The Quest for Love and Mercy, where I talk about the dowry, and I bring all the reports about how much it's supposed to be and so on. There is no difference about this. As for the story about the woman refuting Umar and bringing the ayah as a proof, this is only recorded, he says, Al-Albani, by Abu Ya'la. And there is in its isnad Mujalid bin Sa'id, and he is a weak narrator. So not the whole thing. They brought together the whole story and they consider it. And most people, you know, in many khutbas you hear this story. And you say, look how the freedom in Islam, a woman can correct Umar, and she stood and corrected him in the masjid, and he accepted her correction and so on. Actually, this part of the story is not authentic because it is narrated by a weak person. And Al-Hafidh bin Hajar radiallahu anh said about him that he is not a strong narrator. And at the end of his life, he became even confused. And it has some other ways, chains of narration, this same story, that are all interrupted, which means they do not have a full isnad, they are broken. وَاسْتِشْهَادُ الْمَرْأَةِ لَيْسَ فِي مَحَلِّهِ. And furthermore, what the woman supposedly said is not a right refutation because the ayah is talking about al-mukhtala. The ayah is not talking about women in general.
That. I noticed that. When you quoted it the first time, I was hearing the ayah, and I was what she was saying, and what Umar was talking, I mean, it's like two different things.
Exactly. Two different things. So this is about the woman who asked for termination of the marriage from her side. And I explained this more in the book Quest for Love and Mercy, if you like to see the detail. And the meaning of the ayah says, if you want to replace a new a wife that you just married, and you dislike her, إذا أردتم استبدال زوج جديد ترغبون عنها لكراهتكم لها وعدم طاقتكم الصبر على معاشرتها بالمعروف. If you want to get rid or divorce of a wife that you just married, but you dislike because for some reason you hate her or you cannot treat her in a kind way, even though she did not commit a clear any bad thing. وقد أتيتم من قبل إحداهن قنطارا من المال أي مالا كثيرا سواء أخذنه وحزنه في أيديهن أو التزمتموه لهن فصار دينا في ذمتكم فلا تأخذ منه شيئا بل يجب أن يكون كله لصاحبته. And before that you had given a lot of money to one of your wives, whether it is a lot or little, a lot of money, whether you gave it in cash or it is a debt on you that you still owe to her, then you cannot take any of it. But it will still remain for the one to whom you promised. لأنكم إنما تستبدلون غيرها بها لأجل هواكم وتمتعكم بغير ذنب شرعي. Because you only want to substitute that woman by another woman because of your own desire, and that you want to enjoy a different one, and not because she committed any Islamic sin that you would permit you to take any of her money, like as if she is asking for you to make khula for her, to divorce her instead to terminate the marriage. And the woman is not asking you, you gave her, I translated some part here wrong, which means that you gave the money to someone else. No, he's saying, if you give this woman a lot of money, or promise her a lot of money, and then because of your own desire, because of some, you just do not like this woman, you want to substitute her with another woman, you want to divorce her, and you have promised her a lot of money, you cannot just take away some of her money to fulfill your desire and say, okay, I'm not going to give you all what I promised you, I will give you less than that. And now I promised you, let's say I gave you gifts for, let's say, a couple of $100, and I promised to give you $800 more, but now I would like to just divorce you and get a different wife, and you just divorce her. You cannot do that. You have to give her all what you promised her, because she did not do anything wrong in the first place. Why are you taking her money? Contrary to this is one she requests to be divorced, which is khula. Then in that case, you may take from her money. She may give up some of the money or the promised money so that there will be a settlement and you will divorce her. But in this case, you have no excuse. So this is what the ayah is saying, that if you want to, فَإِنْ أَرَدْتُمْ إِسْتِبْدَالَ زَوْجٍ مَكَانَ زَوْجٍ وَأَتَيْتُمْ إِحْدَهُنَّ قِنْطَارًا. If you want to substitute another wife for the wife for that wife, and you have given her a lot of money, you cannot take any of it. So, and this is not restricted to the dowry. It means everything. Dowry, gifts, whatever other things you have given.
I've often thought that too. Right. It's not just restricted to.
Right. So this is a misunderstanding from the woman, if the narration was right, but it is not right anyway. So there is no need to care about it. But unfortunately, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, in this book, and many other ulama, think that it is authentic, and they cite it in their khutbahs and in their talks. Okay, I think we should stop, even though we have not... Well, actually, there is only one couple more lines left from this section, and then we are done with it. He says, and also what was reported that Ali radiallahu أن علي ذكر الزبير يوم الجمل شيئا عهده إليهما رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ذكره. This I mentioned in, when I talked in Ashrat al-Sa'a, for those who attend my talk, the signs of the hour, that Ali radiallahu anhu reminded al-Zubayr on the day of the, during the battle of al-Jamal, when they fought together, he reminded him, شيئا عهده إليهما رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فذكره حتى انصرف عن القتال. He reminded him of something that the Prophet ﷺ told them. He told him, you will be fighting against Ali and you will be oppressing him by that fighting. You will be unjust to him. And he remembered and he left the fighting immediately after that. He says, وَهَذَا كَثِيرٌ فِي السَّلَفِ وَالْخَلَفِ. And this is numerous, which means there are numerous examples about this, among the Salaf, the early Muslims, and al-Khalaf, the later ulama of Islam. This hadith about the Zubair or the Athar, the narration, is authentic, as Al-Albani said, it has many ways or many chains of narration. So this covers this fifth and the sixth, the fourth and the fifth. The fifth was about that a hadith would reach a alim, but then later on he would forget about it. And he would make a fatwa contrary to that hadith. هذا وسبحانك اللهم بحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.